This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 Daily News Podcast for August 1st. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we'll look at part two of a series on truancy in one Illinois school district, and we'll check the weather from AM 580 meteorologist Scott Althoff. First, a look at today's news. Emergency crews have been working to evacuate 19 high-rises in a swath of Chicago's south side that was without power for several hours. Fire Department spokesman Larry Langford said 600 people were taken to the McCormick Place Convention Center, which was set up as a cooling station. And ComEd spokeswoman Sabrina Davis says about 300 evacuees, most of them elderly, were transported to several downtown hotels, with the utility picking up the tab. The outages come as temperatures are expected today to climb into the 90s for a fifth straight day. ComEd says crews were hoping to restore the service this afternoon. The latest campaign finance documents show Republican candidate for Governor Judy Bart Topinka raised nearly $2 million since the primary in March, but she's still well behind the fundraising pace of the incumbent. We have this story from Sean Crawford.
Topinka's filing shows contributions to her campaign have picked up following her primary victory in March. However, she was forced to spend money to beat back GOP rivals, and that's left her with only $1.5 million in the bank as of the end of last month. By contrast, Democrat Rod Blagojevich shows around $12 million in his war chest, even after spending nearly that much in TV ads this year. While Blagojevich has a large lead when it comes to money, political expert Kent Redfield with the U of I Springfield says there's still a lot of contributions to be made as the November election nears.
You're going to have groups and individuals who, once it looks like somebody's going to win, then they want to be on board and they want to make a contribution. And sometimes after a race kind of breaks and people know which way it's going, you may get a surge of contributions to the person who everybody assumes is going to win.
Topinka's campaign says July fundraising has been on a torrid pace, thanks to high-profile visits to Illinois by President Bush, Senator John McCain, and former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani. However, these latest numbers don't reflect anything brought in after June 30th. I'm Sean Crawford.
City Council members in Urbana may take another look at the Philo Road Business District in the next few weeks. At last night's council caucus meeting, Ward 7 Alderwoman Lynn Barnes said the shopping district is at the tipping point with rising crime at certain apartment complexes and some business owners thinking of moving out. Ward 6 Alderwoman Heather Stevenson says one way to control crime would be to allow landlords in Urbana to bar tenants with prior felony convictions.
I think a landlord would like to be able to, if there's children, women living in an apartment building, not rent to a sex offender because it makes their current tenants feel unsafe.
Other council members pointed out other ways for screening tenants, but Stevenson says landlords still have the perception that they have no options. Barnes says she'd like to see fees reduced for so-called good landlords who control their problem tenants. The issue could come up in mid-August when the Urbana City Council discusses its proposed rental registration program. A full council discussion on Philo Road is planned for September. Fourth quarter profits have more than doubled for Decatur-based Archer Daniels Midland. ADM says the earnings it reported were helped by a 69% increase in profits from corn processing due to better ethanol and sweetener selling prices and volumes. A new unorthodox proposal to curb global warming in the midst of record high temperatures is being met with criticism from a University of Illinois professor. The idea, proposed by Nobel Prize winner and renowned chemist Paul Crutzen, would put a fleet of sulfur-filled balloons into the atmosphere. He believes the sulfur particles would bounce sunlight and heat back into space and cool the Earth. The idea is based on the Mount Pinatubo eruption of 1991, which blew thousands of tons of sulfur into the atmosphere and cooled the Earth's temperatures by about a half a degree. But U of I atmospheric science professor Atul Jain says too little is known about the plan, and there could be risks involved. He says the smarter approach to solving global warming is to drastically reduce greenhouse emissions.
The policies so far are to control climate using some new technologies, but there is nowhere we say that humans should take some action to reduce, or the government should take some action to reduce emissions by reducing CO2, by reducing the energy usage.
Jane says sulfur particles can be unpredictable and could actually warm the planet if things go wrong. But he did say the plan was possible and that action on global warming needs to be taken immediately. For the latest newscast online, you can go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Many people in the city of Rockford, Illinois, see the truancy problem there as a symptom of the economic decline that's battered the city for more than a decade. Rockford's new mayor says revitalizing the city will cut down on truancy and other social problems, but such improvements don't happen overnight. In the meantime, it's up to homeschool counselors like Gary Mattis to try to save the next generation of Rockford students. Illinois Public Radio's Jay Field has part two of this series.
Gary Mattis began working in the Rockford schools 33 years ago. He's in his mid-50s now, a stout guy with intense brown eyes and a military haircut. Mattis grew up here in a neighborhood that's now home to housing projects and the kinds of kids he's trying to save.
Dealing with at-risk families is all about relationship building, and that's the key. That's the whole deal with kids. If we're successful, a kid comes back to school a little more than they did before.
Mattis spends most days in his pickup truck searching for elementary and middle school students who haven't been anywhere near a classroom in days, weeks, sometimes months. He's a homeschool counselor, Rockford's version of a truancy officer, and few of his cases have been as draining as his long struggle to help Amber Smith.
I want to become a lawyer when I get older. Sometimes I think about quitting because things get too hard, but I'm going to stick it out. It's too hard to be like, I'm 15, I can't go out and still be able to go to school and get my own apartment and everything like that. I can't do that stuff, but I wish I could. And people, they want to help, but they don't help in the right ways.
Amber comes from a big family. Her father died several years ago, and she lives with her mom and six brothers in a double-wide trailer on Rockford's southeast side. Amber's mom, Christina Smith, barely makes ends meet. She dropped out of school in 10th grade. Amber's older brother has also dropped out, and Amber says her mom doesn't offer much encouragement to stay in school.
She told me that that I'm not going to graduate, and I told her, I said, okay, so when I do graduate, she's not allowed to my graduation.
Parents who don't value education are a big part of Rockford's truancy problem, according to Gary Mattis. Last year, nearly 10% of the school system's 27,000-plus kids missed at least 18 days of school. Even more alarming, the number of unexcused absences went up among younger children. That's why the school system has been trying to reach vulnerable kids before they get to high school. It's how Mattis and Amber Smith met. Amber, then a sixth grader at Eisenhower Middle School, had missed 40 days.
Amber had ear surgery. At least half of them were excused medically. But still, you know, 40 absences, that's a quarter of the year. And then last year, it was about the same thing.
In seventh grade, Amber missed 40 more days. Late in the year, her situation became more complicated. The 14-year-old found out she was pregnant. Amber told Mattis when he dropped by one day to check up on her.
I was at her house one day and, you know, why aren't you in school? And I just came back from the doctor. Why? I'm pregnant. Oh, man, Amber, you gotta be kidding. Statistically, if you look at the family structure, the chances of her finishing high school are really slim.
Mattis has made it his mission to help Amber break this cycle. As he plunges deeper and deeper into Amber's case, Mattis has taken on an entire family's problems. Mattis has been struggling to help keep a roof over the family's head. Amber's mom is months behind on her rent. Her landlord has run out of patience. Mattis fields a call from Christina Smith, who's at the county courthouse.
Did you get evicted? How long did they give you? All right, Christine. See ya. Bye.
Mattis sinks into the cab of his pickup truck. He knows all the city shelters are full right now. He heads over to the family's trailer, hoping to meet Christina to help her strategize on what she can do next.
Get in your room.
In the trailer, Mattis finds Amber in charge. She stayed home from school today to watch the kids while her mom's in court. She clutches two-month-old Isaiah as a TV hums nearby. Another infant, Christina Smith's new baby, drifts in and out of sleep.
We've been here the day before my mom had him. I don't like it at all. It's dangerous. The fuse box is hanging out the wall.
Wires protrude from exposed wall sockets. Jesse, age 4, scrambles across the kitchen counter, digs through a pile of dirty dishes, and pulls out a knife to make a peanut butter sandwich. Rockford is in Winnebago County. A recent report found Winnebago was one of only 8 counties in the state that made the Illinois Poverty Warning List. Research shows poverty and the family instability and other problems that come with it contributes to kids not staying in school. Christina Smith says getting her kids to school isn't her biggest concern at this moment of crisis.
I have a job. I don't get paid a lot of money, so I'm not going to have a lot of gas. Don't even know where we're going to be after Friday, so how are they supposed to be in school every day?
A few days later, the sheriff comes and throws the family's belongings out in the street. Gary Mattis takes it hard.
This was a family that I did have some hope for. Everybody's bright enough. Everybody knows that there is something else out there. But in the end, you know, it's just too much. It's too much work, too hard to follow through, too hard not to do the things that you've always done just to get along. And it's hard to do the right thing.
Christina Smith and her kids slept in the family car for 2 nights before moving to a city shelter. Mattis redoubled his efforts and got the family into new housing through a program at a local ministry. He also enlisted the help of Amber's teachers. Christina McGee is Amber's 8th grade science teacher.
Amber's got a lot of adults working with her, resources that other children don't necessarily have. Our social worker, our special ed resource teacher, you know, spending a lot of their prep time or their individual time working with Amber, trying to get her to process information and things like that. They've gone far and beyond with Amber.
On the last day of the year at Eisenhower Middle School, Principal Jill Davis strolls the hallways with Gary Mattis.
Come on, girls, hustle up. Gary, have you seen the last attendance report? I haven't seen the last one. No.
We're hovering right around 95%.
Mattis and Principal Davis have been working for years to improve attendance at Eisenhower, often child by child.
I watch the attendance every day and who I notice missing and give it to him, and we follow up on everybody. We talk to kids at least once a week.
One student they haven't had to talk to as much recently is Amber Smith. The last half of 8th grade has been a time of renewed hope. Her mother and her boyfriend's mom watch her baby, so Amber's been attending school on a regular basis.
And I've kept my grades up to this whole quarter. I've only had a bad grade in English and every other class I've been passing because I want to have a good education for my baby.
Amber's improvement is significant. She's getting a B in Christina McGee's class. But McGee worries about Amber as she heads into high school.
She's had a lot of academic help this year. So, you know, her B is a B that is not necessarily a B because she did it all on her own. You know, so I hope that she takes those skills she's learning from the teachers that are helping her with the test and helping her with the assignments. I hope she takes that with her to high school when she doesn't necessarily have those resources.
Amber, McGee notes, is still paying a heavy price academically and emotionally for all the school she's missed. The move from 8th to 9th grade is one of the toughest transitions kids go through, a time when many need their family support more than ever. Amber's family situation hasn't improved, so despite all of Rockford's efforts to keep her in middle school, neither her teachers nor Gary Mattis can be sure Amber will graduate from high school. I'm Jay Field.
Well, more heat is in store for most of the area until, well, tomorrow night into Thursday, where temperatures are supposed to moderate into the 80s. Our meteorologist, Scott Olthoff, says it will be sunny, hot, and humid today with a high of 97, near the record, if not past the record. The record high is 97. Heat indices between 105 and 110 degrees by this afternoon, and south winds at 6 to 12 miles an hour. There's a heat advisory until 7 o'clock tomorrow evening for all of Illinois and Indiana. Warm and humid tonight, the low 76, south winds at 5 to 10. Then tomorrow, Scott says, mostly sunny, hot, and humid again, the high 97 degrees. Again, heat index readings between 105 and 110. and south winds at 10 to 15 miles an hour. Tomorrow night, a chance of thunderstorms moves in, partly to mostly cloudy and a low of 75. Then on Thursday, mostly cloudy, periods of showers and thunderstorms, and somewhat moderating temperatures. The high temperature expected to reach 85 degrees. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, August 1st. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information at our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.